Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, what up? Welcome to Tevez at the Best. Today is Tuesday, May 9, 2023. My name is JC Tevez. Welcome to the podcast about my life and nothing else, but stick around. You might learn something new. I'm going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 today. No spoilers yet, I guess, because it just came out, last week? But I gotta say, that movie is so good. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Is it top 5, JC? I think so, man. I feel like I've done a rundown of my favorite Marvel films. I think I even did a ranking in a previous episode. But, you know, those always change from time to time. I will say, though, Guardians, I think, for sure is top 10. 100%. Does it crack top 5? Right now, maybe recency bias included, I think it does. I feel like it does. Is it better than the first Guardians? On some levels, yes. Because the first Guardians is definitely top 5 for me. Infinity War is number 1. Hands down, it's not going to change. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Because Infinity War is the best one. Not Endgame, mind you. You know, everyone loves Endgame because it concluded, you know, the storylines that began with Iron Man and Captain America and the original Avengers and whatever, right? But Endgame, for me, is when you watch it, it's not super rewatchable because there's this whole lull in the middle where they're planning, you know, how they're going to go back in time, you know, the time jump or the time heist or whatever. It's kind of not as rewatchable as Infinity War, because Infinity War, for me, was the coolest because it's the first time that all these characters that over the course of, 15, 16 years of all these films, I don't know how many films were made before Infinity War, it's for the first time where they all kind of come together. And the Battle of Wakanda is incredible. The battle on that planet where Thanos is fighting the Guardians and Iron Man is cool. The New York scene is dope. The comedy is, top-notch. But I think it's one of the last few, maybe a little bit in Endgame as well, but where the comedy was done right. Because after that, you know, Marvel is known for having funny moments, but then it really peaked when it was just all comedy in Thor Love and Thunder. And that's why I fucking hate that movie. And Guardians, I think, kind of brought it back to Infinity War levels. And Rocket Raccoon, you know, Bradley Cooper has always done a great job. I think he really carried the movie. Although, I mean, I said spoiler free, right? But Star-Lord as well, because, you know, I feel like Star-Lord was too goofy in the second movie, and then he was super goofy in Infinity War as well. I mean, you know, he became kind of like a dumbass in more ways than just comedy, like, you know, him punching Thanos. But I think they kind of brought him back to the, you know, he uses his mind to fight in Volume 3 more than he did in, like, the last few times we've seen him. But another reason why I like Guardians 3 is because I think it gives a satisfying conclusion. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but satisfying conclusion to all the characters involved. And it has, hands down, one of the best, if not the best, fight scene in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is, I saw a repost, somebody posted a bootleg of it on Twitter. It's 2 minutes long, and it's just pure bliss, man. If you're an action fan, because, you know, everyone loves the Captain America elevator scene, and it's really good, but this one was cool because it highlights multiple characters. You know, in Captain America, it's just him, obviously, fucking up the dudes in the elevator, right? And, oh, speaking of, I posted on my stories too, but the reason why I don't have Winter Soldier in my top 5, I know it's probably everyone's favorite or second favorite Marvel movie, and it's probably the most critically acclaimed Marvel movie, is just I don't like Captain America. I find I was on Team Iron Man in the Civil War even in, I mean, that's Captain America's movie, right? But it's pretty much Avengers 2.5. But I was on Iron Man's side the whole time. Like, up until now, you cannot convince me otherwise. So I'm not a fan of Captain America in general as a character. But, you know, he's cool and whatever in the, especially in the Infinity War and Endgame, like he's a big character. But I'm just not a big fan of Captain America. That's why Winter Soldier isn't up there. And I've also realized that the top five that I posted, I think were Infinity War, No Way Home, Guardians, Guardians 3, and either Thor Ragnarok, or I forgot what the other one I posted was. But the common theme seems to be that it's the villain that is, the villains in those movies are just as good as the main heroes. You know, Marvel is known for having super forgettable villains. And the ones that are really good, those are the ones that usually have a good movie. It wasn't in my top five, but Killmonger in Black Panther is fantastic. But in Civil War, I like Zemo because he's just a normal dude. He's like a spy, but he fucks with all the Avengers' heads just by kind of putting them against each other. Infinity War, obviously, and you have Thanos. Norway Home, you have Green Goblin, who's, you know, from the first, you know, from the Tobey Maguire movies, and he's great in those as well. What else? What did I say? The only one, I guess, I mean, Hela was cool in Ragnarok, but I just really like the vibe of Ragnarok because it was super fun, but still had serious gravitas, right? I mean, Thor deals with a huge loss, you know, huge losses in throughout his course as a character. Anyway, I'm 6 minutes into talking about Marvel. I don't want to go on too long, but please watch Guardians Volume 3. It's fucking so good. And I feel like they gave like Mantis and Mantis, I think, was super underutilized in the last movie, and she's not super like useful or utilized in the appearances that she makes after Guardians 2. I am so glad that they gave her a lot to work with in this film. I mean, you can expect the same from Nebula and Drax, like, you know, same kind of, I guess, screen time. Well, Nebula actually is really big in this one. I mean, I don't know if that's a spoiler, but Nebula plays a huge role, and it's really good, man. Gamora too. I really like how they settled things in this film. Yeah, just watch it and let me know what you guys think, okay? Other than that, another movie we just watched. Actually, I just finished it before recording. It's 3 a.m. right now. Just finished watching it. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. Wow. That movie is fantastic. It is probably one of the best movies that has come out in 2023. Let me see. 2023 movies so far. It would probably be it's in the top five, right? So my top five this year so far are Guardians, John Wick, Dungeons and Dragons, probably Air, and I can't really think off the top of my head what else has come out this year. Maybe The Whale was pretty good. I'm looking at best films of 2023 so far, but this is one of those fucking highbrow things because they have Tar at number one. I watched Tar. It was okay. It was all right. I would never watch it again, probably. The Fablemans, which I watched, I would not put it in top five either. What else came out this year? Those are the ones. The Eight Mountains, Quasi, I've never heard of any of these. Air, yeah, Air was good, which I haven't talked about, actually. I talked about it on Hale Hale Show, but I completely forgot to talk about it on this podcast. So I'll delve into that in a bit as well. But first, let's go talk about Dungeons & Dragons. Wow, what a incredible film. And I've never played a game of Dungeons & Dragons. Although, I would like to. I feel like the learning curve is really steep, and you need someone that has been a dungeon master, you know, you can't just play with people who've never played. So, you know, you'd have to play with someone who is a veteran dungeon master who can kind of explain to you, you know, what to do and whatnot. Because the concept of Dungeons and Dragons, if for those of you who don't know, I've never played, so I'm just going off of what I know of general knowledge, is you just, like, you have like a book or something, and it gives you a scenario, And then, but then everything else, you can make up the rules and whatever. I mean, there's rules in the book, but then you, it's up to you to kind of imagine the things that are happening. And then you have to like role play during the game in a sense. Like you really have to immerse yourself as the character that you are playing. You see a little bit of it in Stranger Things, right? Because Stranger Things has a big element of, takes a lot of inspiration from Dungeons and Dragons. But there's dice involved, you know, to kind of keep the game moving forward and to give you the outcomes based on, you know, probability. But ultimately, it's a game of imagination. That's at least how I kind of understand what Dungeons and Dragons is. So you really have to play with people who are into it. You can't just bring people who, you know, it's not like Catan or Monopoly where, you know, you can explain the rules and the game will just end after like an hour. Dungeons and Dragons, I think it goes for a long time to the point where sometimes you have to end the session and then pick up where you were later on. I think. Has anyone played D&D? Let me know. But even if I haven't played D&D, the movie was thoroughly enjoyable. If you played any games that have the same kind of vibe as Dungeons and Dragons, you know, if you've played Gauntlet Legends or Fable or Oblivion, you know, there's always character classes. There's mages or at least sorcerers in this one. There's warriors. You know, it's a familiar setting, even though I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. It feels familiar to me. If you are a fan of that kind of, you know, I guess Game of Thrones in a sense too. I don't like that show, but Game of Thrones, if you watch Game of Thrones, you'd probably enjoy this one because of the same feel. Although this one, obviously, Dungeons and Dragons is more humorous. And they did it right as well, just like how I guess James Gunn and Guardians has done it, where they balance the humor with the more serious aspects. So basically, they're the anti Thor Love and Thunder. I'm always going to go at Thor and Love and Thunder really dropped the ball for me. What a terrible film! It was a fucking sitcom, an hour and a half long sitcom with sexy casts, you know, with Thor being shirtless. That's what it was. But Dungeons and Dragons does it really well. It stars Chris Pine, you might know from Star Trek or Princess Diaries 2, right? Michelle Rodriguez, who plays Michelle Rodriguez, and that's not a bad thing if you are into a badass female ass kicker character. Who do you go for, right? Who's top of list? Maybe in the 80s it was Sigourney Weaver, right? But now who do you have? Like if you're thinking, name me an actress who always plays someone who can kick someone's ass. Michelle Rodriguez probably be number one. Can you think of someone? I mean, Angelina Jolie maybe, but she, I mean, who else? Who else? Who do you think of? Michelle Yeoh? Michelle Yeoh? Yo, I guess. But Michelle Rodriguez, right? Hands down is in the top five of that list. So she plays the warrior character. She's great. Justice Smith, who you might know from Detective Pikachu. Is it Detective Pikachu? He was okay. He was pretty good as a sorcerer. I usually find his Michael Cera-ness annoying. You know, he always seems to play a character, except for that one movie where he, with Sidney Sweeney, he plays like a cuck. No, but he usually plays the, you know, I'm timid and I have no confidence kind of character, but in the end, I'm actually pretty cool kind of guy. He does it well in this film. And who else is... I don't know who there's the girl who plays the druid. She's like a shapeshifter. I don't know who it is. I probably do. Let me look it up. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. She plays Sophia... Oh, okay, definitely I don't know who this is. Sophia Lillis. She is known for the films It and It Chapter 2. Okay, so I guess I did watch her in It. I haven't seen the second It yet. And the HBO psychological thriller Sharp Objects. She was pretty good in this movie too. The effects, the visual effects are crazy. The fight scenes are really, really well done. And there's a one, I guess, sequence that is so unique that I've never seen done in any fantasy or sci-fi or, yeah, I guess fantasy action film ever. It involves, like a portal thing. I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But it also gives me hope that they could make a very good Portal movie. If you've ever played the video game Portal, it's one of the best games, one of the highest reviewed, one of the highest rated games of all time, Portal. I played it on an Xbox way back in the day, and it's just a game where you shoot portals and then you try to use the your puzzle solving using a portal gun. It's really a fun game, but they kind of use something similar in Dungeons and Dragons. Is it predictable? Yeah. I was able to predict like what was going to happen like 10 minutes before everything happened. But it's definitely done well, and it's fun. And, you know, I think I've said this before, predictable movies to me, it doesn't always necessarily have to be a bad thing, as long as it's fun, right? I don't like predictable movies if it's fucking boring or if it sucks. It did not stick the landing, so to speak. But Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, I'm so sad that based on what I'm seeing online and on Reddit, it did not perform well at the box office. I'm checking Wikipedia. It surpassed its budget, but I still feel like they're at a loss because I don't think the budget contains certain things. Like, I remember looking a movie up before and I said, wow, I wonder why they said this movie failed, but it seemed to have done well. But I think it doesn't account for certain things like marketing or whatever. I'm not really sure. So far it's grossed 203 million versus a 150 million budget. So it means they're up 53 million technically. But I don't know if that is a loss really for the studio. But I'm hoping it develops a cult following. I mean, it's now on streaming on Amazon, I think. So I hope it kind of gets a cult following or at least huge support after the fact that it didn't do well in theaters so that they make a sequel, because I would definitely watch it, part two, whenever they make one, if they ever make one. So, yeah, those are the two main movies that I watched this week. I talked about Air, the film Air, starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon on Halala Show. So go listen to that just to hear my thoughts on it. But I would highly recommend that film as well. It was well acted, well directed. I watched it with Payang. Payang says that it's probably an Oscar-worthy film. I don't know if for director or for best picture or for actor or whatever. But it's going to be in awards season's talk. And it's one of those It's one of those movies that are award-worthy but are not boring. Because I've watched some award-winning films and I was fucking bored out of my mind. Payang always makes fun of me for this. Actually, anyone who is super into cinema always gives me shit for this, right? Like, I don't like slow burn movies. I don't give a shit if the cinematography is amazing or if there's like a deeper... What do you call it? Like a deeper subliminal message behind the scene. Or if it draws inspiration from, films from the 1940s or whatever, and that's why people love it. No, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was fucking boring. All right? That's always the one that I always bring up in recent memory as a film that, it won best something, right? Best picture or whatever? Or best actor? I don't know. Oh, best supporting for Brad Pitt for sure. But I always say, fuck, man, that movie is 2 hours of bullshit and then 30 minutes of like a pretty fun, solid ending. But I guess it just really depends on the mood. Cause I love Hateful Eight by Quentin Tarantino. I haven't really discussed my favorite Quentin Tarantino movies, but it's top three. For sure. And I know a lot of people hated Hateful Eight because they found it boring and slow. But I found it so entertaining. I don't know. Maybe it's just really depends on how the movie hits you, right? Because Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my least favorite Tarantino movie, hands down. And I've watched Grindhouse, right? And I don't even like Grindhouse, but I would rather watch Grindhouse than fucking Once Upon a Time. What are your top three, huh? I guess that's what you're thinking out loud. I know you're probably playing along with me. Inglourious is probably there. Dungeons Dragons and Dungeons and Dragons. Django Unchained. I meant Django Unchained. Starts with a D. Sorry, I got confused. Django Unchained is probably up there. Inglourious Bastards. Yeah, probably. Yeah, Inglourious is up there. It's either one or two Inglourious. Django might fall beneath Kill Bill, if you count Kill Bill as one and two. If it's just Kill Bill 1 or Kill Bill 2, and I would put Django above it. But if you count the two films as one, I would probably put Kill Bill above Django. And Hateful Eight. You know, I've watched Jackie Brown. I'm not a huge fan, but it's okay. I finally watched Pulp Fiction for the first time like 2 months ago. It was good, but it's not top five for me. It's not top three worthy. Reservoir Dogs, same thing. Like, it was entertaining, as well acted. The dialogue was great, and it wasn't boring. That's always what it is. If the film isn't boring, I'll give it a shot. That's why I put movies that are wildly entertaining above movies that are critically acclaimed but are slow burns. Like, I fucking love Real Steel, starring Hugh Jackman. That's always my. That's always the film that I tell people, like, man, I fucking love this film, even though it didn't get great reviews. You know, Real Steel, Pacific Rim, although Pacific Rim, the first one, did get good reviews, I think. The second Pacific Rim was awful. Just skip that altogether. See, I can acknowledge when, you know, it's not all about CGI effects and robots and giant monster stuff. I know when it's fucking garbage, right? Pacific Rim 2 was hot basura. That movie was not good. But Pacific Rim 1, oh yeah, give me more of that. Inject that shit right into my veins, bro. What was I talking about? Like, why I enjoy, like, shitty movies, quote-unquote shitty movies, versus critically acclaimed movies. Not all the time. So basically what I'm saying is not all the time, right? I tried to watch again, because I remember in high school I watched it. I remember distinctly disliking the film, No Country for Old Men, which, if you are a film guy, film girl, film buff, filmaholic, whatever you want to identify as a film person, most of you would probably say No Country for Old Men is a cinematic masterpiece. And I will admit, upon rewatch, it wasn't as boring as I remembered it being. I kind of enjoyed more his name escapes me. No Country for Old Men. What's his name in the film? Javier Bardem. Anton Sugar. I enjoyed Anton Sugar's villain, whatever, character more now upon rewatch as an adult, right? Versus, I guess, a teenager. But holy, that movie is slow for like the first 50% of it. And I really did not like how they killed Josh Brolin's character off screen. I think that's what really threw me off. I was rooting for Josh Brolin, whatever his name was in the film. And the fact that they killed him off screen was just a big fuck you to me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I just could not really get into the film, because I felt like we spend most of our time split between the three guys, right? Tommy Lee Jones, Josh Brolin, and Javier Bardem. And I felt it was like a disservice to the audience, or at least to me, that they killed off the guy that, who is, in this sense, he's not a great guy, but he's not evil. He was just trying to take the money and live a better life. And you want him to get away with it, right? And you don't want Javier Bardem's characters to succeed. So the fact that they killed him off screen was just so fucking lame. Maybe if they killed him on screen, maybe I would like the movie a lot more. So yeah, The Air, Dungeons and Dragons, and Guardians Volume 3. Highly recommended and are definitely top 5 films of 2023 so far. All right, unless I really missed something. I'm sure I missed one, but just off of right now, top of mind, those are the three. And John Wick, obviously. Like, those are the films that you should watch if you haven't yet. What else, man? Hold on. I had a list here of stuff to talk about. Oh, I hosted a debut over the weekend. Actually, no, it was on Friday, last week. So first of all, shout out to Kyra Uy. Happy birthday. I know that they listened to my podcast to get a, I was actually kind of nervous because when I first met with a dad, his name is Papa Bads, right? Sir Bads. Sir Bads messaged me and said that, you know, hey, JC, we got a recommendation from you from, our DJ. DJ Tunes, by the way, shout out to DJ Tunes. If you ever need a DJ, hit him up. TOONS. His Instagram is Toonscan, I think. Toonscan. TOONSCAN. If you need a DJ for a party, a wedding, I believe his rates are very fair, you know. And he's a great DJ. So if you need a DJ, hit up Toons. But anyway, Toons recommended me to Sir Bads. And Sir Bads said, hey, you know, you got a recommendation for you to host my daughter's debut. And he asked me, do you have any sample clips of you hosting a debut? And me, being, you know, no road manager or whatever, I have no footage of myself. So I just sent him my hosting reel. So anyway, he said, so after, you know, a few days of communicating back and forth, he said, actually, we listened to your podcast just to get a taste of how you sound when you talk. I was like, fuck. So anyway, if you're listening to this, Sir Bads or Kyra or whoever, I really appreciate the opportunity and I'm still going to keep talking about it. So anyway, how it all went was like, I went through an interview process with him. We went on a Zoom call and I think they were considering someone else as well. But obviously, man, look at me. Best man won, right? So it was held at the Palms in Alabang, which is a country club. I've never been there. It was nice from what I saw from the outside. And I guess the ballroom that I went to. And there's like a place that looks like a clubhouse or whatever. So I was able to go in there. I don't know what else is there. I feel like there's a golf course. There's got to be, right? Somewhere there. And I'm sure there's like tennis courts and shit that you can use if you are a member. But the Palms, it was a great venue, and yeah, it was overall just such a great time. And for me, and I don't know if I've said this before, maybe I'm just, like I have a recency bias thing where when I feel like something is really great, I feel like that's all the only thing I can think of, and I feel like in the moment it's the greatest thing ever. But I can genuinely say that hosting this debut was one of the best, like, hosting experiences I've had in my life. Not because, I mean, I feel like I did my job, and I think I did a great job. But it was the audience that really made it, like, I guess in Tagalog, benta, right? It really sold the event to me in terms of, like, my enjoyment of it. Because I've hosted a lot of debuts in my life, right? So many. And you can tell which, and this is a special shout out to the friends of the debutante. All of the friends that were invited were locked in, if that makes sense. Like they were there enjoying from beginning all the way to the end. And how do I know this? Well, A, when I, you know, they interacted with me and my questions, they were cheering all the time. Whenever the debutante would come out, they would, like, without me saying, you know, give a round of applause, like, they were up and clapping first. But to me, the moment that really sold me on this is there was Sir Bads made a 15-minute-long growing up AVP. Now, I will be the first to tell you, growing up AVPs to me usually are boring as shit. Even if it's my own family, like, I don't, maybe a 2-minute video, but a 15-minute video of growing up pictures and videos, like, at minute 5, I'd be like, please turn this off. And I'm just, you know, no disrespect to Sir Bads. But that's just me personally. But, you know, to show you how, what I mean is that from the whole 15 minutes, the debutante's friends were like ooing and not ooing, but like, oh, you know, when you see a cute baby, like, oh, like they were, oh, and laughing throughout the whole 15 minutes. And that's when I knew, like solidified to me that this crowd was really enjoying the debutante and really celebrating her. they weren't just there for the free food. They weren't just there to, you know, to dress up nice and feel cool. They were there for her. And I even said that at the end of my program, you know, when I was, you know, saying goodnight to everyone, I said, this is one of the greatest crowds I've ever had the pleasure of hosting for. And it was fun, man. It's great. And of course, to validate my own feelings after the event, the audience, not just the kids, cause you know me, man, I'm young, right? I'm like 21, right? I'm 21 at heart. So a bunch of the kids were like, man, you were so good, or you were so cool, you were so funny. But what made it even better was like the oldies, like literally like people that were like, you know, old people, man, past the age of 50, bro. They were old. They were coming up to me and said, wow, ang galing mo mag-host. You were really such a great host. And that to me just fucking sealed the deal of this was one of the greatest events, not just debuts, events that I've had the honor of participating in, right? It was so, so fun. So, so fun. So, I'm not sure if there's any more thoughts that I need to leave out here on the table, but shout out to Kyra, Uy, to Papa Bads, to Mommy Golda. See, I remember their names. I rarely remember the names of any of the debutantes or the family members after, you know, after like a month of hosting for them. You know, I've usually forgotten, but I don't think I will forget this one. This is really like it really hit me hard. Like it was so good. So fun. So happy birthday, Kyra. And thank you to your family. And I hope to see you guys again, because I don't know if it's going to pull through. I don't know if they were just being nice, but maybe it was their recency bias. But after the event, immediately after the event, I got approached by one of their family members who said, hey, are you free to host for our something? I think 50th wedding anniversary or 50th birthday or something in June. And that to me was like, well, I guess they really like what I did. So that was awesome. Other than that, I mean, 31 minutes in, I think that's a good podcast so far. I don't think I really wrote anything down. Oh, I went to IKEA. We went to IKEA yesterday. And I spent, for the first time, I spent real money there. Because every time we go to IKEA, I always just walk around. Maybe I'll buy something small. I don't know if I've, actually, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever bought anything from IKEA other than food. I just go there to walk around, you know, enjoy the shit that I can afford. But I actually went there yesterday with intentions of buying stuff. Ended up spending around 6, 7, 8K total. Just to make life a little bit easier in the home. What did I get? Okay, a little bit of buyer's remorse for me on one part is they have this new product, which is like it's like a bed cover, seat cover thing, which you can put in the freezer. And it's supposed to remain cool and keep you cool. Don't get that. It's 500 pesos, so it's not a big loss, but don't get it, because I kept it in the freezer for a good amount of time. I took it out. It lasted like 15 minutes. Not worth. Don't get that. But everything else that I bought a new, like storage holder for under my desk. I bought a chrome. I don't know if it's chrome, but I always call it. I bought a chrome trash can, and it is one of the highlights of my life as an adult. I don't know if anyone can relate with me. There is this one YouTube video from, I think, Wong Fu. I forgot what it was, but I watched it years ago. I think I was in high school or college. And it begins with this guy, like this Asian dude, obviously Wong Fu, right? Most likely an Asian guy who was like saying like how much this chrome trash can meant, that if he had this automatic chrome trash can, he had succeeded in life. Mine's not automatic, but it has a foot pedal and it's fucking shiny chrome silver, man. And it is one of the peaks of my adult life, where you know, I've talked about my refrigerator, my current refrigerator being one of the highlights of being an adult, you know, one of the highlight purchases of being an adult. I feel like this trash can really speaks to me, man. I wanted a bigger one, but, yeah, I'm not that successful yet, so. But it's the first time I've bought a chrome trash can, so I'm really proud of myself for that. What else did I get? Just a lot of shit, you know, to separate socks and dirty socks and whatever. We got some, like, hanging thingies for the wall by the kitchen sink so that we can hang utensils and shit up there, but we haven't put it up yet. And, oh, I got a tumbler, so I could finally put stickers. It's the first tumbler that I bought. like one of those metal tumblers. Is it metal? Or stainless steel or whatever? Because I've had tumblers in the past. I've had shaker bottles for protein shakes and whatever. And my cousin even gave me a tumbler before from Costco. But this is the first time that I bought an actual tumbler. And I have been on the fence about buying one for probably 2 or 3 years now. Like every time I walk by a fucking Aqua Flask kiosk in the mall or whatever the other clean canteen, right? You name it, you got it, right? If you go to Ateneo, you'll probably see all variations, right? Isn't that the joke? Like in Ateneo, they have, everyone has their own like clean canteen or whatever. Like every variation of it is there. But this one I got from I finally got one for myself in IKEA. It's unbranded, which I like because I don't know. I just liked it because I don't really care about the branding on Aqua Flask or whatever. I just wanted it to be clean so I could put stickers on it. And it's big and metal. It comes with a cap and like two little cap thingies on top. They look like mini cups and you can actually pour, you know, a beverage in there. So if you want to share your coffee, you can pour it in there. You can put food in there, I guess. It's pretty small, but you can put stuff in there, which is pretty cool. I just don't like the cap. I guess that's my only complaint regarding, no, I have two complaints. The two complaints I have is the actual cap that goes, that covers it to keep the water from leaking out, is kind of hard to put on sometimes. And the other complaint is it doesn't have, the cap doesn't have a hole or whatever, you know, for an eyelet, I guess is what you call that, where you can, or a clip thingy, like you can't clip it to anything, you can't put, there's no hookable hole, is what I'm saying. Is it called an eyelet? Anyway. Yeah, but for the first time, spending money in IKEA, well worth it. And then we hit up the Anytime Fitness in Mall of Asia, which is relatively empty. It's pretty good, pretty okay gym. And here we are on a Tuesday, and a lot more work coming in for sure. I got an inquiry to host an event out of town, but we haven't formalized it, so I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to speak up about it yet. But I also have an out-of-town event. No, I have two out-of-town hostings this month as well, and one that is still being confirmed. I haven't heard word yet, so I'm not really sure about that. But it will be 3 out-of-town trips, if ever, this month. It's pretty cool, man. So maybe it's just karma for doing good at the debut. But yeah, that's it. I hope you guys had a wonderful time. And thank you to everyone who listened to the last mix. I really appreciate you, those of you who messaged. Broad Fitz, thank you so much for giving for quoting me from my last podcast. My quote was verbatim, according to, he tweeted me, there's no failure in trying your best. I did say that, huh? Man, I'm like a fucking walking TED talk, huh? But I'm sure someone else has said that in the history of Earth. And I tried to Google it, but maybe I feel like I can take credit for that one, huh? There's no failure in trying your best. There we go. And I've tried my best for today's episode, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please message me on the podcast Instagram if you have any questions or if you want me to, or you can reply to the Spotify prompt. I haven't checked that in a while, but do so and I'll do my best to talk about it, okay? Enjoy your week and I'll catch you all, say it with me, later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.